All right, music ministry. There we go. That's the way to worship, isn't it? Good morning, everyone. My name is Presley, and I feel like Minnie Pearl. I'm just so proud to be here today. Do any of you know who Minnie Pearl is? Okay. All right. Okay, good. Yes, your roots are showing, as my grandmother would say. Yes. And she was a bleached blonde, so she knew all about it. I'm delighted to be here, and it's so wonderful to be beginning a journey with you. And I am passionate about interim ministry. I'm passionate about being invited to walk with your community during what I think are very special years. And a lot of times we don't pay close attention to them. Because sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's because we wear the white dresses or what up here, but sometimes, you know, communities mark their eras by pastors. And while that is important, good leadership, all of that stuff, people that you value, that's really important. But what is more important is marking your history by being aware of your community. And that river that flows through this community and has flowed through this community for 40-some years now. And how exciting to be a part of that. Community is, I think, the most powerful thing that we have. I think one of the reasons I love the way of Christ is that it is not complete unless it happens in community. It is not complete unless love is shared. It is not complete unless we together as community heal one another. And if we together as a community heal the world, that is when Christ is present. How beautiful is that? And you and I are part of an incredible tradition that grew out of the mid-20th century, way back then, when we began to believe that Christianity had become too boxed in. We began to believe that the Spirit of God, that the love that this Jesus of Nazareth was trying to teach to the world needed to be released. Or, perhaps what we really learned, we needed to release ourselves again. Go out in the world and see what the Spirit is already doing. The communities, the Spirit is already loving. Sometimes we have hubris about us. We think it is our job to take love out into our communities. When time and time again, my experience has been, I go out into community to find out what love is doing, to find out what hope is doing, where I can be a part of that, where we can be a part of that. Powerful things communities are. Would you join me in prayer before we go a little bit further in talking about community together? Holy God, I thank you so much for this gathering today. I thank you for this opportunity to be here today. I thank you for the voices that have been raised in praise today, the preparation for this service today, all because each person is remembering a time when you came to each one of us in your own way, in the way we have most needed it, and said, you are a part of me. I am a part of you. Go and share that good news. May you bless us today as we share words here today, the words that I speak. Holy Spirit, may you truly complete them, translate them into each life, into each heart. We wouldn't be here if we weren't longing for blessing this morning. Help us, God, to not be apathetic, to raise our spirits to you today, to reach that blessing. And may you be blessed in the love we bring to this place, in your Holy Spirit's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of your many, many beautiful understandings. Amen. Today's reading is from what can be a very difficult book sometimes. It's from the book of Revelation. And a lot of us were scared to death by that book if we grew up in a church background. And, but within that book, there are these just really, really beautiful moments, just stunning moments. And today's reading is one of those times when in the midst of a great deal of destruction and a great deal of pain and a great deal of suffering, there is this vision of a community. And the community is gathered around this gathering point, this divine gathering point. And you know what they're doing? They're not holding swords. They're singing. They're singing beautiful, beautiful songs. They're singing over the world. These beautiful, beautiful songs. It brought to mind to me a couple of memories from the past. Today, of course, is our All Saints Day. So I know many of us are remembering special people today, particular people. I see our tables are filled with them down here. God bless all of them and what they have meant to us. I was thinking of the Reverend Judith Balmer. Now, Reverend Judith Balmer was one of the very first ordained Episcopal women. And I was working in a large New York City Episcopal church, and they had a morning jazz mass, you know, about as jazzy as white people got. And it was okay, you know. It was hard. We had great. But what was great about Judith Balmer, and this was a church that prided itself, you know, on its building. Jackie Onassis had been a part of it, you know, and they had restored it, and it was stunning. I'm just going to walk. It was stunning, and really good things happened there. And they thought of themselves as being very, you know, progressive, as a lot of us do in our churches. And then they hired Reverend Judith Balmer. And Reverend Judith Balmer was doing this as a late-in-life career, following this calling that she had never been able to follow. She had been a person with a career who had raised her family and stuff, and she came on staff. And boy, did things get shaken up then. She came on staff, and she started saying, "Why aren't we feeding people? Why don't we have a soup kitchen on the east side?" And oh my gosh, you would have thought that was the worst suggestion anybody had ever thought of. Everybody was afraid the mosaics would get ruined and all kinds of stuff. You know, not even thinking that it was a massive building. Nobody even had to come near that stuff. But a church was caught in its, you know, in its box of who community was. And Judith Balmer stuck with it and through really hard times, both in the sexism that was directed toward her, but also people not really wanting to go with this vision. And of course, many years later, she was one of the most loved people in New York City, and I had I came to attend her funeral. She died as I was in seminary, and I had already left then and gone to MCC at that point. But I'll never forget the funeral. So we came into this beautiful place, and I had never felt such warmth in that building, And the first person who came up to sing was Judy Collins. And Judy Collins sang Amazing Grace with that beautiful, clear voice that she still has. And it was so, so lovely and so moving. But the part that I remember and that I'm remembering today is when it came time to take Judith's casket out of the sanctuary, we all stood up and we sang her favorite song, "I Will Raise You Up on Eagle's Wing. Bear you on the breath of dawn, you know, and make you to rise like the sun." And we sang with all of our hearts. And in that moment, I think we touch on what this community in Revelation was doing today. We were joining together as a beloved body, as a beloved community. And we were singing her with our voices. We were lifting her spirit with our voices, letting her know how much she was loved. Letting her know how much she was being well companioned on this transition. And then I think we were also singing with all of our might to recommend her to God. And probably if we were true about it, we were saying, "You better show up for this woman because we love her. And we are trusting her to your care." We sang with all of our might that day. And that is one of the beautiful images of community that we inherit in our spiritual tradition. And sometimes we forget that. We come to church in the morning and we think other people sing. We come to church in the morning and we forget that we are doing something so powerful and so beautiful together as a community. I was driving into Tampa the other night and just kind of, you know, I was wondering, you know, okay, God, what's in store? Because this is a bit like an internet date, isn't it, today? And I was kind of wondering what's in store, you know, and I'm a little bit of, well, I'm a lot of a mystic. I really like to reach out in spirit and stuff. And I got this just the most beautiful, beautiful vision as I saw downtown Tampa. and it was a vision. I could imagine this church, and it was almost like I saw lights rising up to heaven, being lifted on songs. So I'm not sure what that says for us, but I know that's a prophetic vision for this community for this year. So hold it in your heart, and let's see what happens with that. But I know that's going to happen. It's probably already happening, but I have a feeling we're going to go on a journey there together. Because you and I are part of something timeless. When we lift up our voices together, we are promising to one another that, yes, we're a community now in this place, but I promise you, in the way of Christ, that even death will not part me from you. It's the words of Ruth again, right? Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you are buried, there also will I be buried. May God do thus and so to me, if even death parts me from you. That's the promise we make to one another as we walk a deep spiritual path in this place. It made me think of Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh said something really profound. Winnie the Pooh said, he was talking about his friend, Christopher. It seemed they had always been and would always be friends. Time could change much, but not that. They were two halves of a whole, sharing a single spirit. And it was the spirit of friendship. And it was alive, and it was well. The community of John, this person who was on the island of Patmos, who wrote this apocalyptic writing today, his community was under a great deal of stress and duress. Many of them were being killed in very public ways, and you can just imagine how their hearts were broken if we were really experiencing something like that here, and some of our churches and communities are in different parts of the world. But what I loved about this is in the middle of all of this grieving and anger and so forth, these beautiful visions come. And this vision of a community, I feel like it's just a vision of this beautiful connection to those singing around the throne, that they would have been people, that they would have imagining faces, the faces of their friends, many whom they last saw meet a terrible ending. Their faces would be shining with light, singing their heart out in the divine presence, where there is, as this writing says later on, no more crying. There is no more dying. Every tear will be wiped away, and it will be a place of true, graceful justice. In this vision, their friends are complete again in community. No more bruises, no more wounds. Giving strength through this remembering to those who are still here, still in the midst of the struggle. The powering of remembering reminds us, my friends, that there is a vision of true freedom, of true equality, of true joy at the heart of all worthy spiritual paths. And the struggle will be worth it. You know, in just a couple of weeks, we'll be marking Transgender Day of Remembrance, a very important day. I don't know what you have planned, but I hope there will be some remembrances here. And I want to do a remembrance today of somebody really important to me. I was arrested in New York, as you are every now and then, this was during the Giuliani years, and Giuliani had a reputation of being very hospitable to our communities. Anybody from New York here? Okay, you want to witness with me on that? And anyway, so this was after Matthew Shepard had been murdered. Does most of you remember Matthew Shepard and the terrible ending to that lovely young person? And you know what? It was one of those times when we just had had enough. Our communities had had enough of this sort of violence. And the denial that the violence was happening, or even that our religions were culpable in that. And in New York, we decided to have a political funeral for Matthew Shepard. And it was one of the very first times the internet had been used to organize. So they thought a few hundred people were going to come. Thousands of people came to Fifth Avenue for a spontaneous thing. And the police would not help us. They could have easily blocked off one lane of that massive Fifth Avenue. They wouldn't help us. Some of us went out there. I grabbed my partner at this time. I said, come on, we're going. And we stood in front of the bus that they were trying to drive between us, and they arrested a lot of us. And they gave us the longest holding period that they could. But what was really cool about this is I ended up being in a holding cell with some people who are my heroes, my community, before they even knew me, who had made a difference. And one of those people was Mama Sylvia Rivera. And Mama Sylvia Rivera was a Stonewall veteran. And she's was right at the heart of it. You know, she and her good friend, Marsha P. Johnson. P stood for Pay It No Mind Johnson. They were at the Stonewall Inn that night. And, you know, and the cops came before everybody was able to change their requisite gender-appropriate clothes and switch and stuff, because there was a law about that in New York at the time. They got thrown in the paddy wagon. And something that night, whether it was Judy Garland's death or it was something a bit more sacred inside them, came forward and said, enough is enough. Marsha P. Johnson planted her size 14 pumps in the chest of that cop the next time the door opened. They fought their way out onto the streets. And we know the history, and they linked arms as this went on and on. And they sang a song of community together. They sang, we are the Stonewall Girls. We wear our hair in curls. We roll our dungarees above our Nelly knees. We wear no underwear. We show our pubic. I'll start there. Now, it may not exactly be Hillsong's, but I'll take it. It was a song of community, a song of freedom, a song of people finding once again the vision that I believe is at the very heart of the gospel, that you and I are called as a community to value passionately, to work for passionately, to fight for passionately in this place, in this city where God has planted us. The best is yet to come. We are going to be called through the call of inclusion into greater circles of membering and remembering. Greater circles of naming one another as sacred, as part of this powerful story that crosses cultures and crosses religions. You and I are a part of that, something very special. And when we remember, when I remember you with love, in so doing, we become one body. When I remember you with love, in so doing, I enter into a timeless place with you. Beyond the edges of life, beyond the edges of bodies. Where there is infinite wisdom, infinite hope, genuine forgiveness, and freedom for all of us. MCC Tampa, I am so looking forward to singing with you this year. I'm so looking forward to singing with your great cloud of what I'm calling eyewitnesses today, which means really intelligent witnesses, right, who get what's important. It is going to be a beautiful year together, and may we mark the beginning of that year today by remembering those who have gone before us, by remembering one another, and remembering our calling as community for the future. May God bless us. Amen.